Super Bowl 50 is here.
It's over. The Broncos are going to Super Bowl 50.
And we are there on Yahoo Sports Radio, live from San Francisco.
There will be some Panther silver at the Golden Anniversary Super Bowl. The Carolina Panthers, champions of the NFC, are headed to Super Bowl 50.
Yahoo Sports Super Week. Live from the site.
It was caught. It's a touchdown.
The Broncos.
You know I'm getting the ball. They know I'm getting the ball tonight, too.
He knew he was going to do a Superman. At 5 yards, he says, I'm going to go ahead and jump over the top because this is going to be an easy touchdown. Cam Newton, the legend, grow.
Battling for Lombardi.
I'm getting the ball.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
The new YahooSportsRadio.com.
Oh, go get the ball tonight.
Thanks to our friends at Mahindra taking us to Radio Row for Super Bowl 50.
How much y'all charge?
And Yahoo Sports Super Week, made possible by Grainger.
Ain't too much talking to be going on tonight. All about it.
Are you ready? It's Yahoo Sports Super Week.
Hey, quit calling the plays, all right?
Now live from the Moscione Center in San Francisco, California. And now, here they are, the kingpins of Houston Afternoon Sports Radio. With A.J. Hoffman, here is Fred Fowler.
All right, here we are.
What is that introduction?
I don't know. I hate it.
With A.J. Hoffman, here's Fred Fowler?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I have no idea. I'm used
to... Is that Morales' idea? Oh, what? I'm going to kick that guy's ass. I don't know what he's doing with that.
Well,
make me sound like some kind of sidekick. I don't like that at all.
Well,
what's up, my man?
This guy's no sidekick.
No, he's not. And he's got the crew with him.
Just jump right in here.
Matt, how's it going?
Gentlemen.
Man? Dana White, Matt Serra, join us on the program. Dana White, of course, the president of the UFC. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm great. Man, Super Bowl week, I know, is a big week for you guys.
Yep.
This is like you usually plan one of the biggest events of the year for Super Bowl weekend. These injuries are an ass-whipping, and now all of a sudden it's not a pay-per-view. It's a you lose the headliner.
Goes to Fox Sports 1. Punch me right in the face, please.
What was the deal with – I know when Kane got hurt, they said that Miocic was going to replace him. And then the Verdum injury, I use quote fingers, seems very mysterious to me. And I think this is a dude who smashed Fedor's head in.
Yep. Heavyweight champion of the world.
Just like beat the snot out of Cain Velasquez. And he's worried about Stipe Miocic, who it doesn't make sense to me, but what was their explanation to you?
It's just one of those things. You're the heavyweight champion. You step up and you take on all comers. I mean, that's the way it should be. Not the way it always works out, and obviously I'm very disappointed, and, you know.
It happens.
I don't know what to say.
It happens. I know you guys been doing the looking for a fight. You've come through Houston a couple times for the legacy guys there.
Yep.
You brought up a guy named Alex Morano to fight Kyle Noak here recently, and he put on a good showing out of our city. And then Sage Northcutt, of course, coming from Houston.
Yep.
And
Houston has a good fight scene.
Really good.
A lot of talent coming out of there. A lot of guys have come out of Legacy, and I'm actually really impressed with that event. I love going to that event. We have a good time. It's actually, you know, the show is called Dana White Looking for a Fight. We put it up on YouTube because this is a global sport now. We want the whole world to be able to watch. And it's so cool because we're doing basically the same thing that you two are doing this week. You come into this town. You're probably taking in everything that the town has to offer, right?
Yep. Yep.
I guarantee you people are recommending restaurants that you're going to and you're eating at every day, and then you're going to go to the event on Sunday. This is exactly what we do. And one of the cool things for us is we actually really like each other, and we have a blast when we're hanging out together. And, you know, we get to go be a fan and actually go sit down and watch the fights. And when you go to an event like Legacy, they actually have good talent, good fights, and we love Houston. We just had a blast in Houston.
Good. They put on a good show there, man. Talk about Sage's fight. Obviously, that's a kid that you guys believe in a lot and has been getting a heavy push promotion-wise. For him to lose that fight in that way, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you should show the
picture. I'm taking the picture out right now. So, you know, it was unfortunate. I mean, why don't you go ahead and start talking about it? I'll pull the picture up for these guys.
Yeah, he's going to get the picture up now. You're not going to even believe it because everybody's saying, oh, man, he tapped so quick to that choke. His throat was sensitive to the touch, and you're going to see in a second what I'm talking about. It looks like something out of Aliens.
Strep throat or something is what I heard.
That was his throat Thursday before the fight. That was his throat.
Did he insist on fighting, or was this something?
I'm 46 years old. I've been in the fight business since I was 19 years old. I should have pulled this kid from this fight. You know, first of all, he took the fight. His opponent fell out at 155.
He's fighting up a class.
He fought up a weight class at 170. He was sick as a dog. You know, and you don't ever want to make excuses in the fight game. He wanted to fight. The kid wanted to fight. It happened. I'm older. I'm smarter. I should have pulled him from the fight.
And he's 19 years old. You know what I mean? I had my first shot in the UFC at 26, and I lost to a spinning back fist. And I've grown a lot since
then.
Carter. Yeah, exactly. I got him back, but that's not the point of the story. I won the rematch. But the point is, you grow as a fighter. He's such a young kid. Good people around him, smart, very nice family, and the best kid you'd ever meet if you ever met
the
him.
Best kid.
Almost just golly gee Brady Bunch type, but such a great kid. He's got a bright, bright future.
I was I said that I worried about the first time that he got into deep waters in the cage, because that guy, he's not fought a high level of competition before he went to the UFC, and it seemed like
nobody does. It's about what he doesn't have is he doesn't have the experience of being in, you know, when you hear that Jordan scored 50 with the flu, the guy had been in the league for 10 years, you know, when you hear that this guy did that, and, you know, it's more about an experience factor of having been in big fights. The kid fought 3 fights in 3 months, you know, and it's his side pushing. They want to do this, but it's my job to pump the brakes a little and say, let's slow down. Let's get him some experience, you know. And you know, I take as much responsibility for it as they do.
How did you come to the decision on Conor McGregor's next fight? I know that Frank Edgar wanted it. A lot of guys want Conor McGregor. How did you decide that?
To be honest, we didn't decide. Conor McGregor decided. Conor McGregor said, "I want to move up and fight Dos Anjos at 155 pounds." Conor McGregor is a talent we haven't seen yet in this sport. You know. In the beginning, he sounded like this loudmouth that was talking. When you come out and say you're going to knock out Jose Aldo in under 4 minutes of the first round, it sounds like smack talk. Then you come out and do it in 13 seconds. This isn't boxing where you move up a weight class and it's 2 or 3 pounds. He's moving
up 15
pounds. Yeah, he's moving up to fight an animal who destroyed Cowboy Cerrone, destroyed Anthony Pettis, destroyed Ben Henderson. This is a tough fight for Conor McGregor.
Anderson Silva, when he moved up a weight class, you didn't even put him in there with a champion. I mean, Anderson didn't want to.
No.
He just wanted to play up there.
Right. He just wanted to stick his toe in and play around. And, you know, he didn't want to move. There's never been a guy. George St. Pierre didn't want to move up to 85. No. None of these guys want to move up. This is a talent that we have never seen before in the UFC. He predicts what round he's going to beat these guys in.
You excited to get John Jones back in the cage?
I am. Yeah, he might be the best talent ever in the sport. So it's good to have him back. You know, get his personal life cleaned up and come back and fight.
Guys, I appreciate you taking some time. I'm enjoying the shows that you guys are doing. The Looking for a Fight.
And, thank you.
And obviously enjoying the fights this year. They've been great already. It's going to be another good year, I think, for the UFC.
Thanks, Dana White. Looking for a Fight. The new episode is up today on YouTube.
All right. Appreciate the time, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, sir.
Always a pleasure. All right.
Thanks for signing Alex Morano, too. That's my guy.
That's how you start off a show, gentlemen. All right. So we'll reset now.
I love it. Being with a bunch of bald guys, it makes me feel better about myself.
Bald guys who can kick your ass. Yeah.
That's right.
So, all right. We are going to be broadcasting live here until 5 o'clock Pacific time. For those of you listening on our usual station in Houston, it'll be a little bit different because we're also broadcasting live on the Yahoo Sports Radio Network. A lot of these interviews will be available for you to watch on YSR.com. And, of course, they'll all be on podcastarena.com. But we're going to be just absolutely loaded with guests and love getting that one right off the bat. But the next 2 days especially, it's going to be guest after guest. That's how Super Bowl tends to work. And I'm looking forward to it, man. We got some really good names.
Yeah, you have our list, or
I have it here somewhere. But
yeah, it's somewhere. Pearson has the updated list.
I'm not quite 100% set up here yet because we had sort of a quick turnaround.
What's going on?
But
with you?
Yeah, okay. Here we go. Here's
look at your laptop. Your brand new laptop.
I don't want to talk about that. Solomon Wilcots will be at 115.
Okay.
Danny Cannell at 145. Teddy Bridgewater at 2 o'clock.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. Ryan Rosillo 2:30. Jay Glazer scheduled to join us at 2:45. Jim Stuckey at 3 o'clock. Wade Smith, 3:15. Terrence Williams, 4 o'clock. And I'm sure we'll grab other guys.
Yeah, there's that list is incomplete. We've already got a lot more than that lined up today. So, and some great names coming up tomorrow, including Richard Sherman, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, Doug Flutie, Victor Cruz. I mean, Michael Crabtree. We got Robbie Lawler, the welterweight champion of the world. Got some good stuff coming up over the next several days as well.
And if you're not familiar with if you're listening to the network for the first time and you're catching our show, we'll tell you who we are when we come back. But we're going to be here for the next 3 days. And lots of great guests live from Radio Row here at the Super Bowl.
With A.J. Hoffman.
It's Fred Fowler.
This is Yahoo Sports Super Week.
Yahoo Sports Super Week.
We shocked the world. Did nobody give us a chance?
Back to the Moscione Center in San Francisco, California. Once again,
one play at a time, one series at a time.
Once again, with A.J. Hoffman.
With A.J. Hoffman.
Here is Fred Fowler.
All right, we are back live here at Radio Row in San Francisco. And I think we're going to get that fixed because A.J.'s not happy with it.
I'm not happy with it at all.
Hey, a couple ways you can get in touch with the show. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's at Fred Fowler. That's F-A-O-U-R. At A.J. is the real. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776 is our text line. And we also have a Facebook page. It's just The Blitz, very easy to find. And go check that out. Any way you want to get in contact with the show, that's the best way to do it. Let us know what you think of the guests. Let us know what you think of the interviews. And that's what we will be doing for the next 3 days, is grabbing as many great guests as we possibly can and try to get some good stuff out of them. And if you aren't familiar with this, I did a show on the network for a couple of years on Saturday nights, really enjoyed it, and we do this every year. So once a year, you get to hear us. If you like what you hear, we have a great app that you can pick up that has everything that we do. Podcast Arena has all of our shows, so check it out. And if you don't like us, too bad.
Yeah, deal with it.
Yeah, we like being here. So we're supposed to have Solomon Wilcots here any moment, so when he shows up, we'll have him. A little later this hour, Danny Cannell. So very full hour. It's a very full week. Tomorrow, I'm looking at tomorrow's schedule. I think we've got three spots open right now. Everything else is all interviews, and they're big names. So it's going to be a very busy day. And we'll just grab people, too, as we go. And that's always the one thing about this. Sometimes guys will not show up when they're supposed to. Sometimes we get an opportunity to grab somebody that we didn't know we were going to get, so we just jump in and do it. And that will happen a few times. And
well, that's how it happened with Dana White.
Yeah,
we didn't have him scheduled, but luckily we got a good relationship with him, and they were able to make some time for us.
Yeah, I always appreciate Dana because he always is great on the show. You always get a lot out of him because of your knowledge of the sport, obviously, and having covered it for as long as you have. So always great to have those guys on, talk a little UFC. And it was for the folks who were in Houston, the whole Sage Northcutt thing. Those are things that we just didn't know, and we kind of heard rumors about it, but didn't realize how bad his throat really was, and I thought it was interesting that he said, hey, shouldn't have let the kid fight. All right. We will keep the guest going here. You know him from NFL Network. You hear him from he also does color commentary on the NFL, and people in Houston very familiar with him because he did a lot of games involving the Houston Texans this year. And joining us now is Solomon Wilcots. Solomon, appreciate the time, sir.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here, of course. And I'm here with my good friend, Dr. Elise Lombardo. We're here to huddle up for new Alzheimer's treatments and making sure that people are aware of the importance to participate in clinical studies.
What got you involved in this?
Well, obviously, having a concern for family and friends who are battling this disease, and any time that there's potential treatments that could help improve the quality of life of those people who are suffering from Alzheimer's, and to have that treatment sitting on some shelf and being just one clinical study away from being made available, I think that's a tragedy. And so the ability to get involved, to push that across the goal line and make these treatments available, that's why I'm here. But Dr. Elise Lombardo could tell you a little bit more about our mindset study, which is part of the process of getting people to participate in clinical studies.
Thanks so much, Solomon. So glad to be here and be able to really help raise awareness for this. We know that there hasn't been a new drug approved by FDA in over 10 years for Alzheimer's disease. And so what we really want to do is raise awareness, start getting the Alzheimer's community to participate with us in these clinical studies. There's been some great work. Some great drugs are currently in clinic and in clinical trials, and we need volunteers. We need people to come forward to help us bring these drugs, as Solomon said, over the goal line and to FDA. And so we're here raising awareness. We have a website for everybody to go to, which is www.alzheimersglobalstudy.com, to really learn how they can join the fight with us.
Awesome. Solomon, talk about your you know, you played, how many, 6-7 years in the NFL?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any health issues from your time in the NFL? Or, I mean, did you come away pretty clean?
Fortunately, I was able to come away pretty clean. You know, now every day you wake up and you think something's going to grab you. Okay, you know, you get out of bed, you move a little bit slower. But that's just part of the natural process of sticking around over the long haul, right? I'm 51 years old, I'm still here. So I'm sure at 61, 71, you're going to get out of bed and you'll feel another little ache, another little pain. But for me, football has given me more, far more than it has ever taken away.
What do you enjoy doing the most, if NFL Network, doing the games? What's your favorite part? What's your favorite thing to do?
You know, I like the diversity. I like all elements. If I was just calling games, which I enjoy immensely, there would be a part of me that would still want to do some of the reporting, that would still want to do some of the studio analysis, that would still want to do radio, as I do for Sirius NFL radio. And so the ability to do all of those things and pull all of them together, it really does make, I think, for a more well-rounded career. I enjoy going in, speaking with the coaches and players, preparing to do games. It allows me to use all the faculties that I used while I was playing, other than having to get into the whirlpool the next day. But still, to be able to watch the game real time and be able to talk about it in terms of what you see, what you expect, based on watching tape, watching film, based on speaking with the coaches and coordinators, it's a unique perspective. It really is.
I know you got to do certainly heard you do a lot of Houston Texans games this year. What were your impressions of, obviously they've got to get a quarterback, I think we've all said that, but how close do you think that team is to being competitive?
They are competitive right now. But when you talk about, I know, competing for a Super Bowl
right.
title, the quarterback needs to get better, no matter who it is, whether it's Brian Hoyer, whether, you know, no matter who it is, because their offense is pretty good. I think after losing Arian Foster, I do think they need to be in a market for a running back, even though Alfred Blue got better as the season went on. Real good football player. They use the committee of runners just like they use the committee of quarterbacks for the most part, right? And by hook or crook, they still were able to run the ball effectively. And I think defensively, they're there. Front end, back end of the defense. The way that they were able to turn their season around after that game in Miami, where they gave up all those explosive plays. I had never seen a defense coordinator turn around a defense from being so bad to being so good. They went from giving up all these explosive plays. Couldn't even tackle you or I if we were playing in that game that day when they took the field against the Miami Dolphins.
Oh.
Romeo Crennel got them back in shape, ended up becoming the number one defense in third down defense, which is the most critical down in football. Their ability to not only get to the quarterback, to turn it over on the back end, it became an entirely different defense after that one game. I think it probably was a matter of pride. They were hurting so bad that they had to bounce back, and boy, did they.
I was going to say, regarding the game on Sunday, if I had told you the Broncos will be in the Super Bowl, and one of the reasons people would question whether or not they'd win is because Peyton Manning is kind of we don't know what we're going to get out of him. Would you have ever believed this team would be in the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning being sort of a negative?
I would have believed that at the beginning of the year. Some of this was the narrative going into the season. It's a defensive-heavy team. They're good enough to get to the Super Bowl, but could Peyton Manning get them there?
Right.
But could Peyton Manning hold up during the regular season, and could he be the guy? We saw them as being one of the best teams in the AFC, okay, and maybe getting there and playing the Patriots heading into the championship game. So someone's talking in my ear.
Yeah, they're wrapping us up.
Yeah, see, I know all those cues. That's a nice way of saying be quiet.
Thank you, Solomon. Thank you, Doctor.
Panthers, Broncos, the new era.
Newton fakes to Tolbert, throws a pass in.
Mr. Omaha,
the Hall of Famer.
Peyton is going to get a first down. Head first slide.
Battling to hoist Lombardi for the 50th time.
And we live it and breathe it like nobody else.
This is Yahoo Sports Super Week, presented by Grainger. This is Yahoo Sports Super Week.
Yahoo Sports Super Week.
We shocked the world. Did nobody give us a chance?
Back to the Moscione Center in San Francisco, California. Once again. Once again with AJ Hoffman.
With AJ Hoffman.
Here is Fred Fowler.
We are back live here in San Francisco, and we're going to just keep the great guests coming because here's a guy who knows a lot about San Francisco. Antoine Bethea, three-time Pro Bowler, 49ers team MVP in 2014. And, Antoine, really appreciate the time, man. This has got to be pretty cool being here in a city where you had so much success seeing the Super Bowl here and that new stadium and everything. It's got to be pretty cool for you.
Yeah, man, first of all, thanks for having me. But, you know, it is cool. You know, it's good for the fans, good for the city. And hopefully, you know, the city treats everybody well while they're visiting.
So what do you think about this game on Sunday? Let's start with that. Both terrific defenses, two of the better defenses we've seen in the league this year, certainly. How do you think this is going to play out?
Like you say, you know, two great defenses on both sides. Obviously, I think it'll come down to whoever can play the best defense and who can run the ball the best. Carolina's been doing a great job of that all year, you know, continuing into the playoffs. So we'll see how it turns out.
What's it like trying to defend a guy like Cam Newton?
It's tough, man. It's tough. And when you have those guys that are dual threats, that can really pass the ball and that can really hurt you with their feet, man, it's just tough. I could just imagine being a defensive coordinator trying to, you know, put a game plan together. But out there playing against him, man, it's tough. Like, and then when he does get in the open field, you know, he's a big guy. So it's going to be interesting, man, to see if he can keep doing what he's been doing.
Especially, sorry.
No, I was going to say, you're a guy who, I mean, you won a Super Bowl your first year in the league. I mean, did you realize at the time how rare and how precious an opportunity things like that can be when, you know, you start to go through seasons now? And, you know, this season obviously wasn't pretty, but
right.
It's crazy to come in and find that success the first time and then the struggle to get back to it.
I can say it now, man. I kind of took it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, like you say, you know, coming into the league my first year and winning the Super Bowl. You know, 9 years later, I would say, you know, the way it went, I had two or three more rings, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, just going through, you know, my 2-14 season I had in Indy, you know, this past year here in San Fran, you know, now you start to, you know, appreciate it a lot more.
To talk about this season, I mean, you've had some opportunities. You got to play with Peyton Manning leading your team for a long time, Andrew Luck. What's happened to the quarterback situation here in San Francisco for you guys? What do you think, and how's it going to get fixed?
I'm not, you know, I can't really say and say point my finger at this is exactly what happened, you know, and I'm not going to speculate or anything, but just, you know, being in the locker room, I just think it just has to become a culture, you know, build a better culture that's just all around the organization. I think that's the biggest thing. When you look at the great teams and teams, the dynasties and teams that continually wins, you just see that they have great organizations from the top to the bottom. I'm not saying that we don't, but it's just something that we have to all just come together and make happen. So I don't think anything is wrong with Colin. Obviously, you see he took him to the Super Bowl, took him to an NFC Championship, you know, and he's the same guy, you know, so – it's just something that we just have to come together and get better.
Has it been difficult for you guys to sort of gel as a team with the way the coaching staffs have kind of been in and out over the last couple of years?
Well, you know, that's always tough. Continuity will always make your team better. So when you, like you say, you know, we have three different coaches in 3 years. So, but either way, you know, we got to know the other team's not feeling sorry for
no.
you. So whatever the case may be, man, we got to make it work.
Have you had much contact with the new coaching staff? Have they talked to you at all about how they're going to use you and maybe some of the things they're going to do?
Nah, I haven't. You know, we have our assistant DB coach that got hired a few days ago. He was assistant DB coach my last 2 years in Indy, so I'm familiar with him, Roy Anderson. But, you know, as far as the other coaches, I really haven't had much contact with them. But hopefully in the near future I will.
So tell us a little bit about your Safe Coverage Foundation.
My Safe Coverage Foundation, I started in 2010. Mainly, my main focus at the time was just to give back to my community, my neighborhood that I grew up in, to help the students, you know, continue their education after high school. And, you know, that's the main thing, man, just trying to give back.
You also have you got a little clothing line going on now, too.
Some small, you know, hats, T-shirts, some hoodies, and like I say, you know, all of the proceeds I make off the the clothing line goes back to my foundation. So it all plays hand-in-hand with one another.
So you obviously got to play with Peyton Manning when he was at his best.
Yeah.
And I think even he would admit that he's not the player he was. Can he play well enough to win that game for them? If he's asked to win it in the fourth quarter, does he still have that in him?
Yeah, I'll never doubt that with 18. You know, he's a great player, man. You know, future Hall of Famer. And with him, you know, controlling the offense and doing the thing that he's been doing his whole life, man, I think that he still had the capabilities of winning the game, you know, taking that last drive and helping his team win. So I'll never doubt that.
All right, that's Anton Bethea, San Francisco 49ers. Anton, really appreciate the time, man.
No, no problem.
Thanks for swinging by.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's reset things here for those of you who might be jumping in. Grabbing as many interviews as possible here on Radio Row. And, of course, that was Anton Bethea, San Francisco 49ers. We'll have Danny Cannell coming up here in a little bit. Teddy Bridgewater, that's one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
But we are here on Radio Row and getting out on the network in addition to our local show in Houston. So for those of you who are new to the show, lots of ways that you can get in touch with us. You can hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And I have to say, from our standpoint, the setup here is one of the best that I've seen at a Super Bowl in terms of everything being right here close together. Now, obviously,
yeah,
the game's out in Santa Clara. But
it's like a block and a half from our hotel.
Yeah, a block and a half from the hotel. They actually have it set up where to get your credentials is right next door to where you actually go, which is a first for that. And there's plenty of room in here. So I got to give them credit. This is a terrific setup. And plus, I just love this city, man. The first thing I noticed is that every block you smell weed.
Oh, there's a lot of weed out here. I'm noticing that, too.
And I was
the elevator in our hotel this morning smelled like weed.
Oh, God, yes. All day long. So
a lot of people with glaucoma
apparently
in San Francisco.
Well, and right across the street, there's actually a dispensary for medical marijuana.
Ugh.
Unfortunately, you have to be from California, and you have to have something wrong with you.
I was going to say, you're old. You should be able to pull some strings.
I would think I'm probably going to die soon. So.
Yeah.
It seems.
I mean,
they'll
just take one look at you and say, "Oh, here you go, buddy."
And I don't have a California driver's license, so.
Oh,
and
just
you have to have a note from a doctor. Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly. But this is just a terrific city. I hadn't been here in probably 22 years, and I know it's your first trip here. And we spent yesterday kind of doing the touristy thing, hitting as many kind of tourist things that we do.
Which a drunk tour.
Hit as many craft beer bars as possible.
Yeah,
and try out some terrific brews until we all passed out. So.
Yeah.
It was a fun day, and looking forward to the rest of the week, and certainly looking forward to this game. And we will talk a lot more about it as it gets closer. We'll certainly all of our guests will ask them how they think it's going to play out. We've talked about this on our show a lot. I think there's two ways this game goes. If the Broncos play the way they did against the Patriots and the Steelers keep the score down, I think that's their path to victory.
Yeah.
I don't think they can win.
A shootout.
Yeah. I don't think they can win if the Panthers do what they did in really the last two games by getting off to a fast start. I just don't think the Broncos can win that way. So
I'm with you, although I think the Broncos, in all credit to, you know, the Seahawks, who have a very strong defense, but I think this is the best defense Cam's going to see. And I think for sure the best pass rush he'll see. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does to negate that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see with how much they use him running the football, because that's something they did very well in the other two games, and that's a great way to create a running game, is having a guy like that back there. And Wade Phillips' defenses have tended to struggle in the past against mobile quarterbacks, so be interesting to see what Wade comes up with. All right, coming up next, we've got Danny Cannell, who's going to join us, and ESPN Radio. Very familiar with him. He appears on air right before us in Houston. And after that, Teddy Bridgewater at 2 o'clock Pacific
time. Staying busy, my man. Staying busy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a couple of quarterbacks back-to-back here. So, all right, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, or text the show, 713-780-3776.
This is Yahoo Sports Super Week.
Yahoo Sports Super Week.
We shocked the world. Did nobody give us a chance?
Back to the Moscione Center in San Francisco, California. Once again. Once again, with A.J. Hoffman.
With A.J. Hoffman.
Here is Fred Fowler.
All right, we are back here at Super Bowl Radio Row. And for our listeners in Houston, very familiar with the man we're about to have on because he's on right before us. Danny Cannell joins us. Danny, appreciate the time.
How are you guys? I feel thrilled. I'm the least famous person you guys will have on today. That's guaranteed. You guys get some big hitters. There are a lot of big hitters.
We had some doctor on.
Oh, you did?
With Solomon Wilcott.
Oh, really?
We weren't planned, but she just like sat down and started talking about Alzheimer's. And I was
I'm the second least famous.
Yeah.
But now we got some wine. This Radio Row is a trip.
Oh,
this is my first experience here. I mean, I'm just getting freebies everywhere. And I have the mantra: if it's free, I'll take three.
That's right.
That could hurt me though with this wine.
That's right.
You know,
yeah, especially if you got to go on air. You know,
yeah, I'm already done. My show's done. So now I can cut loose.
Yeah, I'm totally confused by the time here because you know we started an hour early and I always get thrown off when we come out here on the West Coast. But this your first experience with it. What's been your favorite part so far? Besides the free wine.
Besides the free wine, I love talking to the different personalities that come through. I mean, we had Ronnie Lott on, and that's one juxtaposition. And then you had, you know, Josh Duhamel, an actor who my wife is like – my wife never listens to my show, okay? Never. She listened to that segment because she has a huge crush on him. So it's just seeing the circus, seeing all the different people that are here. And a lot of times you see ex-players, guys that you played with, you know, get to kind of reunite. Super Bowl week, that's kind of what it's about. It's a reunion of sorts for guys that played the game because there's so many activities, festivities that go on. So you'll come just kind of catch up with some of the guys you haven't seen in a long time.
I want to ask you a couple college football questions because obviously signing day today, which I'm sure you remember when you were recruited, what that was like. What we saw with Alabama and what we've seen with this run that they seem to just year in, year out, just keep producing NFL-caliber players. How long can Nick Saban continue to do that there?
It's almost not fair. When you watch him, because you've got the greatest sports mind, the greatest football mind in college football, and you combine that with the greatest talent, the greatest collection of talent, and that's this recipe. That's why we've seen this dynasty that Alabama has built. But I think you're starting to see, like, I mean, there will be a lull. Like, you know, a couple years ago, you heard, oh, the players were worrying about the draft. And that happens. At powerhouse programs, they are cyclical because it's hard to stay hungry. But I don't think you'll see that Nick Saban will lose any of his hunger. It'll be the players that come through there. They'll get spoiled. They'll get used to it. And another team is looking to knock them off. So you'll see other teams starting to invest a little bit more, spend a little bit more, you know, work in the weight room, work in the film room, whatever it is. And that's what it'll take. You know, that's somebody else that wants it a little bit more that has close to as much talent.
How good can we watch championship game? How good can Watson be in the NFL? I think he's got. I love his skill set, and I think he's got a chance. He doesn't like him as much as I do, but what do you think of him?
I think he's special. I watched him. I was there at their spring football game. I covered it his freshman year. He had already been there, but he sat out the game because he had a shoulder injury. And I remember talking to all the players on the team because we're trying to figure out what's the future look like. And they all said, you got to see this Deshaun Watson. You have to see this guy play. And then watching him play his first year playing a year ago and getting spare time, you know, splitting time, and watching him go into Tallahassee playing at Florida State. But he looked so mature. He has just a confidence, a coolness about him that you can't teach. Like, those are the things you cannot teach. And even in this championship game, you saw a guy who was very confident in his ability to go toe-to-toe with the best defense in the country. And that's why they were in the game, because of the way he played. And I think, you know, it's very – what we're seeing at the next level with Cam Newton and guys like Russell Wilson, this is what the new quarterback is going to look like. They will be able to run. They'll be able to make plays with their legs, but also throw the football. And I think Deshaun Watson has all those capabilities.
Danny, let's talk a little bit about the game Sunday. Your thoughts on this, and I know we've heard you talk about it quite a bit on our station back in Houston, but since we're on the network here, give us your thoughts on how you think this game's going to go.
I'm nervous because I was on record early saying I liked Carolina a lot. Like, we came in Monday after championship weekend, and I said I love Carolina Panthers. And now, of course, kind of everybody's falling in that line. And that just makes me nervous because we're all not that smart. And it's not that easy. And, you know, you look at the trend of defenses winning Super Bowls, right? Defense
That's
wins
right.
championships. And you have the number one defense in the league with the Denver Broncos. But I think in those traditional mindsets, you've seen those defense beat quarterbacks who don't look like Cam Newton, guys that aren't 6'6", 250 pounds, that can run you over. And that's what I really think is going to be the biggest challenge in this game is for those ends, the Von Millers and DeMarcus Wares, those guys, when they're facing Tom Brady, they can pin their ears back and go for a spot 8 yards back in the pocket and tee off and say, we're going to go to that spot all game long. They're not going to be able to do that in this game. So they're going to be rushing with a different mindset. And if they don't, if they get too far up the field, he'll slip up inside and he'll be able to hurt you. And we saw Tom Brady run for 11 yards last week, and he celebrated with a big first down. That 11-yard run will be about a 30-yard gain with Cam Newton if they don't get contained on him and don't worry about his legs. So I think that, to me, is going to be the matchup to watch.
How important is it for Denver to, you know, we've seen the last couple games for Carolina where Seattle and Arizona both just fell into huge holes early on and were unable to claw their way out. Denver, probably even less so than those teams, they're not built to come back from behind. I mean, this is a team that wants a low-scoring, grinding game. How important is it for Carolina or for Denver to keep Carolina off the board early?
They've got to figure out a way to win the coin toss, get the ball, yeah. Get the ball in their hands, and then they've got to try to run the football. I mean, they really have to try to, you know, use some ball possession type of drives, which I think they will. I mean, Gary Kubiak, as much as we've seen Peyton when he's played this year in the shotgun, Gary Kubiak wants to run the ball from under center, which was some of the reasons why you saw this team struggle early in the season with the offense with Peyton Manning there and how it looked different with Brock Osweiler, because that's more of what a Denver Broncos offense looks like. I played for Gary Kubiak. He was my offensive coordinator for a couple years. He's going to want to establish that zone running scheme, and it's not going to be easy. But they've got to withstand that initial push that the Carolina Panthers have done so well, and I think they will.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. I wanted to ask you how much you were enjoying doing that show with Ryan Russillo, but we'll just have to ask him how much he enjoys doing
it with
you.
All right, don't let him bash me, though, when I'm not here.
All right, Danny Cannell, appreciate the time, sir. We are going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back from Radio Row, San Francisco.